Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Friday, April the 24th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We're on day 8 of a 9-day intensive, and the week has flown by. We've got energy running really high tonight, or this morning, and we're looking forward to tonight. We're going to actually do a responsibility communicase practicum, and things are exciting and energy high, and there's about, I think, 5 of the participants that are staying on over into teacher's training, and then we have a few new ones coming in. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and we are just honored and blessed that everyone who chooses to join us does it every day that you do. It's really such a blessing to get to engage this work, and over and over and over again, engaging it to learn on deeper and deeper and deeper levels. You know, there's so many times when I thought I understood it and I realized that, you know, I'm probably still just scratching the surface. But it's just so amazing to watch the healing that happened yesterday. We did still point breathing with the group, and just watching the major things that come up and tend to take over people's lives. But when the still point breath happens, how people are able to just let loose of and process through those things and move into literally the physiological experience of the presence of love. It's just amazing to watch that happen. And as people comprehend that their perception is a construct of their minds that tricks them into thinking that what they're constructing internally is actually true about somebody other than them. And it's just the most amazing thing when you realize that at each moment of your life, you're not looking through a pair of windows at what's happening out in the world. You're looking at your construct of the world. And, you know, if your perception is on target, if it's accurate, then you're going to have good guidance for making your way through the world. If your perception is off target, then you're going to have poor guidance. You're going to bump into things and people in ways that are going to create all kinds of trauma for you. And it's up to each person to clean up the perceptual systems within their own minds. And until they do, they cannot perceive the world accurately. You know, the workshop that Jeannie said that we're doing today is a workshop on communication. It's called Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And William Blake gives us an insight into this whole process of perception when he says this: if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. And tie that into Einstein's insight that if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. And the optical delusion is a construct of the mind that cuts us out of experiencing ourselves as a part of the whole, which is what we're designed to experience ourselves as. So again, Blake says, if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. And, excuse me, my screen just went dark. For man has closed himself up till he sees all things through narrow chinks of his own cavern. And in essence, that's what most of us do until we start to open the awareness that every perception that I have describes most accurately and first and foremost the content of my own mind. Until I recognize that, it's going to be tough. Life is going to be really hard. It's going to be conflict-ridden. It's going to be crazy time. Once I start to clean that up, a whole different thing happens. I mean, there's just a whole different process that occurs. We've had several examples already in the intensive of people. One person did their first worksheet around a relationship issue that had created some separation and some hostility in a relationship. And this person, you know, thought it was all their fault. And first worksheet around that issue, and a very short time later, I'm not sure exactly what the time frame was, I didn't share that, but between the afternoon class and the next morning, the person that the conflict had taken place with was on the phone with them, apologizing for their part in it. And, you know, something that they thought would never happen. And all of a sudden, that shift takes place. And recognizing that people are always responding to the energies that we sprinkle upon them. And the energy that you sprinkle or spray on somebody is the energy of your perception. If I paint a picture in my mind out of hostility or fear about someone, and they show up on the inside of my eyeballs, built out of hostility or fear, then the energy that I'm spraying on that person through my eyeballs is that of hostility or fear. When I change my paintbrush, when I live according to what the ancients taught as the first law, and that is the law of love, that I stand as a space of a human being in a space of love, and I paint my pictures out of love, I may see someone who's way off base in what they've done, but instead of painting them as the cause of my hostility or my fear, I will paint them as someone who simply needs care and support, and being human, I'll be able to stand there as care and support for them, and the whole game changes. And when we create that healing process, it's absolutely amazing. And so here we are on the path of the next level. We actually finish up this workshop tomorrow morning. We'll complete with the personal codes code evaluations. And then we'll start into a 3-day training on the personal code evaluation and a 9-day teacher training. If you have done a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop previously, then you're qualified to come and join us. That's the prerequisite for teacher training. So if you want to come and join us, we've got space. We've got a small group, very intense group, and there's space to come and join us with the new folks that will be coming in for Saturday evening. So there's time. There's time. And so, Jeannie, we've got Dr. Tim with us. Let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir? Are you with us, Tim? Mute challenged?
Yes, exactly.
I know that one.
Yeah, I'm doing quite
well. Been there, done that. Awesome. What's exciting in your world, sir?
Well, there's all kinds of things going on. I thought I would bring us back to Michelle's call yesterday because I woke this morning with thoughts about that. And a piece of her call that I think is a major stumbling block for most of us, and lots of different spiritual teachers address this issue. Guy Finley talks about it as ILS, imitation life syndrome. And whenever I'm trying to imitate somebody else or compare myself to anybody else, I'm going to create problems. And I think it also goes for, and what was coming up in the call with Michelle, is it's not just comparing myself to somebody else, but it's comparing myself to an ideal I have about what it means to be enlightened. And so many of these true spiritual traditions say something very similar to this. The way of Mastery says it is, this is not a degree that you get and hang on the wall. Enlightenment, Abraham, Esther Hicks and Abraham says, it's not just a degree you get or a diploma you get and you put it on your wall and now you're enlightened. Enlightenment or connection to source or being in the space of love is a moment-to-moment expression. And I'm either there and consciously aware of my true nature and able to extend that in each moment, or I'm not. And it doesn't matter whether I've had 45 years experience of spiritual training or doing worksheets or standing on my head in a corner or getting hit with peacock feathers or eating carrot quiche with bare feet on a mountaintop. It doesn't matter how much of that's happened if in this moment I'm not consciously aware of and connected to my true nature as the energy of love and able to extend that easily, then I have work to do. And
absolutely.
So I just wanted to thank Michelle for bringing that up, because it's such a common trap for me to think I need to compare myself to somebody else, compare myself to the ideal, compare myself to how well I did last year and now I'm not doing so well. And that simply is another trap. And it pulls me out of the moment, and it pulls me out of my ability to be aware of my true nature. And so I just wanted to hit that before I went on and talked about the support group last night.
Cool. I think that's right on, and it points back to, of course, the tool and the solution of forgiveness, because if I'm comparing myself, it's because I have some kind of a reality that I'm not good enough, or I love the line in Desiderata, and I used to be in the restaurant business, and almost, 47 years ago, every year on Mother's Day, I would print a menu, and it had this poem, Desiderata. It was a souvenir menu for Mother's Day, and it would have this poem, and one of the lines in the poem, Desiderata, is, "Do not compare yourself to others, for always there will be greater and lesser than yourself." And if you compare yourself to others, the words in the poem are, you will become vain and bitter. And, the only comparison I think to make is to me yesterday. Have I moved forward? Have I moved backward? If I move backward, then I'm going to recommit to another level of my work. And if I move forward, then I give myself accolades and keep moving. For sure. Big, 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 big key. In the opening of the intensives, one of the things that I put out to people, because oftentimes people will play this game of, oh, Michael Rice, he's the guru. It's like, if you brought a pedestal for me, what I say to people in the intensive is, turn it into a ladder for your own process, because none of us deserve to be on a pedestal. We're all human, and we're all doing our work, and if I can support you in a piece of work, great. I happen to be in a place where I can do that at this moment, and tomorrow you may well be the one who's supporting me in the piece of work I need to do. So it's pretty amazing to realize that and to have the support of a community of people who are willing to be that for each other.
Agreed. And, you liked to mention the Desiderata, and I love that poem, and I love the poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. And in it, mm-hmm. the line that compares to what you just read from the Desiderata is, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same.
Yep.
My successes or failures in any area do not increase or decrease my value as a person. I have the value I have as a person, as you like to say, because the Creator put the breath of life in me, because life itself is living me and breathing me.
Yes. For sure.
The other offering I have is that we had our second support group of the week last night, and at the same time we were having that group, Dale Allen Hoffman emailed me the audio file for his appearance at our Tuesday group. So that Tuesday group audio is up on my website, and many thanks again to Dale for doing that. And last night we had two people in the group plus me, and it just happened to coincide with the online webinar. I guess that's redundant, with the live webinar of
right.
Guy Finley for his new book. And so the group was given the option and decided to watch the webinar. So we listened to essentially 45 minutes or close to an hour of Guy talking about the principles he's underlining in his book, which are always the same kind of things that you're talking about in your work, realizing that it's all an inside job and everything that's unlike love is false, and every effort to make a difference in what I'm feeling or doing when it's a negative emotion, if it comes from any logical process, it's in error and it can only lead to more problems. And then there were questions from the audience that ran for like an hour and 15 minutes. So that was our whole evening, but it was delightful. We had lots of times where we looked at each other and said, there's Dr. Rice's stuff. There it is again. And his seven ways to test your level of spiritual freedom, I thought, would be relevant to what I was mentioning earlier that got triggered from the interaction with Michelle. The first one is, I can test my spiritual freedom by how much I can answer this question. You don't want anything from anyone. When I'm really spiritually free, I don't want anything from anyone. So the degree to which I want something from someone else, or I think what they have is something I need to be whole and complete, I'm not spiritually free. The second one is, you have no interest in old resentments. And this caused quite a chuckle throughout the room. When I'm spiritually free, I will have no energy focused on old resentments. Number three, you don't blame anyone or anything for how you feel. Number four, when you're spiritually free, you stop trying to make others see life your way. Number five, when you're spiritually free, you say what you want and not what you think others want you to say. Number six, when you're spiritually free, you can no longer justify any reason to be negative, anxious, or afraid. And number seven, when you're spiritually free, your life is getting progressively simpler. So that's just a taste of what we were listening to last night with Guy, and I think you can hear how it's resonating with the teachings of Michael Rice and Yeshua and Dale Allen Hoffman and Way of Mastery, A Course in Miracles, Gandhi.
It's all the same truth, yep.
Yep. So that's my offering for today.
Cool.
I want to stop talking before I say something that triggers you, and then we shatter the illusion that you're enlightened.
Okay. Jeannie had a question for us, but her microphone's off.
Did you tell that it's good?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if Michelle is with us today. Is Michelle there, Jeannie? You want to put
she
her on?
In that room. That's actually who I'm talking to, but she said she had talked to Rex right after. We're echoing here. So she had talked to Rex right after the show. And Rex is on, so I'm turning him on.
Cool. Let's say hello to Rex. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well.
So good. Welcome, sir.
Awesome. And I wanted to mention the experience that I also had with Michelle when I was listening to her conversation with you, Tim, and Michael, and Jeannie, and sharing what she was sharing. And my experience was there was another question in there that may or may not have gotten addressed, but we were able to address it after we finished the show, because I called her because I realized she was in the States and I haven't talked to her for a couple weeks. So I was excited about having an actual conversation. So we had a wonderful conversation for a few minutes before she went on her next flight. But the one of the questions that came to mind, and I think it's worthy of addressing, and that's why I raised my hand, was, okay, so we've got the piece on, you know, what you're describing, what you're talking about, Tim, and what we were talking about yesterday, but also the part about when is it okay, or how do I know when I realize I no longer wish to be engaged in this experience I'm having, or this relationship I'm in, or the situation that's happening in my in the world I'm in the actuality of my experience in the moment in my world. And I can say, well, wait a minute, I'm check in, I'm clear, I feel good about my experience right now, but I realize I no longer want to engage in this way in the world, in this relationship. I had a client this morning I just finished with not too long ago that was working with that and had an old girlfriend come back into his world and saying, hey, let's, you know, hook up. And he realized that isn't what he wanted to do anymore. And he was able to say, no, thank you. And now he had things going on, and so we worked with that material, but also and worked with the forgiveness and the tapping and releasing that stuff that was coming up as a result of what his triggers were. But then he also knew that it wasn't healthy or ideal to engage in that. So if a person happens to be in a relationship and they're having a conversation with three people and one person's ranting and raving and ranting and raving, and I'm feeling pretty neutral about it, I can hold the space. I'm not required to do that. That would be a judgment for me if I did that. My take on it would be I can come from choice and choose to stay in that space and hold the space of love to support healing. And I can also choose and say, excuse me. And one of the things that I like to do if that ever happens is sometimes I just need to go to the bathroom. And the funny thing is, it doesn't matter what my reason for wanting to get up and leave is. I'm getting up and I'm walking away. And it's okay. And I thought that was an important piece because sometimes what I found in my own experience is that in the early times when I was working through a lot of this material is that I thought I was required to stay in that space. And I it was important because I could hold the space of love and or I was enlightened or some crap I was giving myself that I should do that. And what I realized, sometimes it's perfectly acceptable to just stand up and say, excuse me, and walk away from the moment. And it's okay. So
absolutely.
Maybe you could address that as well.
Gene's got a thought. I think you just addressed it pretty well, Rick, but Gene's got a thought.
Awesome. Yes, Gene.
Well, I was actually typing to Michelle in the thing because I heard something totally different. This is perfect. I mean, it's just like what we talk about, that everybody has their own realities and what's going on in their own brain cells. And so like one person heard, you know, about comparing yourself to someone else and them being awakened or, and you're not or whatever. And then the choice of saying, I'm not going to, you know, be in that relationship and I'm going to leave. What I heard and what came to my brain cells was, you know, I know there were several different people that, not just in the group that Michelle went with, but that they actually linked up with other groups when they were in Peru and different places. And so what came to my mind that was some of these people perhaps that, and, you know, whether that's who she was talking about or not, this is just, like I said, my reality, that perhaps some of those groups, you know, they're living in paradise and that they feel like, you know, they're hanging out in paradise and they're awakened and they don't have a need to go back into the world and look at the things that are going on in the rest of the world and all of that. And when do you know, are they really awakened enough that they can just settle in paradise and not look at what's going on in the world? Or perhaps they're avoiding looking there because of what it might bring up for them. So not that they're really a master or not, but when do you know that a person, you know, is really just avoiding looking at what's going on or whatever, and instead they're using the excuse that, you know, I don't have a need to go there.
Well, my input in that situation is always the same, and that is that if we're in avoidance, you know, there's an old saying that says, all it takes for evil to thrive is for good people to do nothing. And so I'm always a stand for a call to action. If there's somebody with awareness, then I think that that person has an obligation to engage with their awareness and bring a higher state to the world, especially, you know, I think that we're actually at a place where there is so much insanity going on in the world that we're at risk of losing it all. I mean, the whole game for humanity. And so I think that each person who really truly has that awareness needs to step forward, if nothing else, as that active space of love, and at least engage in bringing that presence of love forward into those situations. Because if everybody who, quote unquote, gets what they call enlightened, and I don't necessarily put enlightenment on that, the label on that behavior, says, oh, well, okay, now I'm out of here, then what happens is the insanity that goes on, if no one takes action, everybody goes off and says, well, I'm enlightened, I don't have to bother, then, you know, the fate of the game is left to the insane. And right now, you know, it's pretty insane. We definitely need to take some action. And so those who have the brain cells to take action, I think, are obligated to take action. And, of course, anybody can choose to opt out anytime they want, but I'm a stand for people engaging and making a difference, because right now we're in a place where we need people that can make a difference. That'd be my take on that.
And then, so where's the balance? Like, hit your mute. It echoes back. It's hard on this. Anyway. I lost my train of thought there. So where's the difference in, like, you know, we've talked yesterday about how there is good in the world. There's a lot going on, a lot of people involved and a lot of good there. And so, you know, recognizing that good and not so focused on the bad, I mean, there's a balance there.
Well, my take is it's not about going out and focusing on the bad, but to avoid looking at what's going on, and you don't have to label it, just to where there's something we avoid looking at and bringing that mind of love to it, then it tends to thrive and take over. You know, if in Nazi Germany, the people who were taking orders and used the excuse, well, I was just following orders, had spoken up and said, excuse me, I'm not doing that, I'm going to take action here, then, you know, the whole Nazi thing never could have happened. And, you know, sooner or later, somebody has to stand up and take a stand for what's right. And so my invitation is, and, you know, this work is about taking a stand. What you're doing, Rex, is about taking a stand. What you're doing, Tim, is about taking a stand and giving people support for moving out of the insane mind into the mind of sanity. And I think that's important. So, Michelle, you got any thoughts on that? Is Michelle on with us, or? Okay. Cool. Well, any other thoughts, Dr. Tim, in that regard and on Rex's question?
Well, I was trying to give some input, but I think Jeannie might have accidentally muted me. She just unmuted me again. Yes, there's I think, like we've talked about a lot in this program and in our work, is that we are I like to think that we're getting closer and closer to critical mass, the major shifts that are going to take place there, where we're all moving in the direction of healing, and a massive shift takes place in such a way that it's much easier. There's a lot less resistance to moving into that state of the momentary enlightenment. You know, the moment of enlightenment is not something that quite often people think, well, I'm going to become enlightened and then I've arrived. And what I realized is just a moment in time. And I think it's important for all of us to be attentive to that. The part about how it's very important for each of us to take responsibility for our experience and presence love, regardless of where we are, if we happen to be in an environment where it's quite peaceful, it's an opportunity to, you know, increase that level of love in me because it's easier, you know, necessarily. And when I'm in a space of someone arguing or something going on that may be reflecting an unpleasant experience, I agree, Michael, that holding that space of love in me for that space, to for those people, places, or situations to heal is really ideal. And sometimes it's a healthy thing for me to step away from that momentary experience. And that's all I was really expressing. And how I know the difference is I'm coming from a place of love, and I do the check-in is what I call it. You know, I engage Rock Makuba. I check to see if I have any upset going on. I cancel any goal that I might have for this person to be a different way or whatever, or the situation to be different. And then I feel neutral and peaceful. And then I can come from choice versus a decision, which would be coming from a carbon-based mind. And I agree, and, you know, I'm excited about being that in the world, anywhere I can go and anywhere I can represent that. And I also enjoy just being in the space, you know, hanging out with my garden and walking in the woods or riding my bike. And so I think it's one of those qualities of each of us need to know what is the best thing that we can be doing to support love being manifest fully as a conscious experience in our own bodies, and then support that in our environment wherever we are.
And cool. Well, Dr. Kim, did you have any thoughts? Excuse me, Rex, I thought you were complete.
Go ahead. That's what I'd love to hear about, Dr. Kim.
I feel complete with my comments from yesterday and today, and I don't see any conflict between what's been shared today and what I was sharing yesterday and earlier. So I think I'm complete.
Cool. Well, Michelle's on, so let's hear from Michelle.
And actually, she's in the chat room, and she said to feel free and share this. She said, if you're a master and your job is to stay and hold the space of love, but to her, that would reflect the mastery. Because otherwise, then it would be avoidance. And the avoidance would reflect denial. And if in denial, how do you know what you don't know? And she said she also loves the way that we each one of us had our own reality, and yet we're all discussing it responsibly. And she says, why else would Tim wake up thinking about the conversation? And she has a client with her that's listening. So anyway, so how do you know what you don't know? and it's still like a difference of avoiding a situation or being open to hearing something different.
Somebody.
Would
like to
comment on that.
How do I did that complete with the question? If you just repeat the question, if there was one, because I'm.
So if you're a master, your job is to stay and hold the space of love. She says, to me, that would reflect more of a mastery, because otherwise the avoidance, quote unquote, reflects denial. And if denial, how do you know what you don't know? So I guess if you're in denial and you're like say a person, and she said, yes, I was more right on with what she was talking about. So if, let's say, this group of people that are living in paradise and they don't need to know what's going on in the world, that they're at perfect peace and they've got it all together, but they're in denial, they're not at that mastery stage, but how are they ever going to know what they don't know?
Maybe my work is for me to do, pay attention to what I need to know and what my work is. That can be my space. It's, you know, what is there for me? What's my next piece of work to do here? And that's, to me, is the call to action. It's what do I have to do in this? What's the action I'm here to take? So as Dr. Tim said, I feel complete with that. Rex, do you feel complete on that one?
I'm not accustomed to that happening, Jeannie. You're doing that differently, but you mute in between, so I appreciate that. I didn't know that. So I hear myself going mute and unmuted, and I didn't know. I generally...
Yeah, you're there now.
Okay, cool. So, yes, and I think what you said encapsulates exactly where my thoughts were going, Michael, and that is...
Okay. Cool.
How I know is by looking inside me and then doing my own work. And then, like you said, Tim, there was that piece of wanting to compare, and then also, Jeannie, what you were talking about. Those were all, I think, a part of the conversation. So, yeah, I feel good and complete. I think it's a great conversation. I also wanted to mention, before I go on mute, that I am doing a talk at the Unity of Greater Lansing, and the title for the talk is on Sunday, and the title for the talk is The Metamorphosis of Awakening, and I am doing a workshop following the talk called Radiant, Vibrant Health in the Human Mind in Lansing. So I'm excited about it. I did the first presentation of it last week at the Coptic Center and had a great response from the participants. And
nice.
It was awesome. So it was really great. It's really fun to see all of us doing work in different parts of the world all around the same points in time. So it's enjoyable because I think we, as a community, join together with that energetically. And so I really appreciate the love and the support, and also extend that love and support to all of us.
Cool. So, Rex, can somebody get the flyer from your Still Point Breath of Life website?
Well, I still have that under construction. So what they can do is they can check my Facebook page, and I have it posted on there.
Okay, and your Facebook page is under the name, if they're not connected with you?
Rex Montague Bauer, MONTAGUE hyphen capital BAUER.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, good luck with the workshop. We hold the space. All right, blessings. Take care.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question or thought for us, if you are on the phone, in the phone line up, if you push 1, that will raise your hand, and Jeannie will know you have a comment or a question for us, and she'll introduce you by your area code. Otherwise, if you're on one of those stations we can't see on our switchboard, you can call, push 1, ask your question. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of?
We have hand up, and then we have a question. In the chat room, it says on the worksheet under carbon-based memory, it says a cumulative inherited multigenerational database, period. A storage place for skills, hostility, fear, and replicate corrupt data. And they're wondering why skills is stuck in there with hostility, fear, and corrupt data. It's like, it's kind of like thrown in a basket with a bunch of negatives, whereas skills are positive.
Well, it actually is just reflective of, it's just a database. So there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And to the, you know, obviously when we're looking at the forgiveness process and the space of healing, I want to be aware of what kind of things might I get trapped in that are less than love, and what's their source. And so we have all of those things that are in the database that could trap us. And as you're aware of it, you know, if you find yourself in hostility, go, oh, okay, well, what's coming out of carbon-based memory here? What can I forgive from carbon-based memory? And then to recognize that it's not all about the downside of the equation, but there are some wondrous, wonderful, awesome things in that database as well. And so there lie some skills and abilities that have been developed by the past generations. And of course, you know, hostility and fear are skills and abilities developed by the past generations as well. And so to recognize that it is simply a database, that there's the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it's all there. And maybe you hear Clint Eastwood music playing in the background when I mention it. So you've got somebody with a hand up, sweetie? Area code 765, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
This is Sunny, Michael.
Hey there, young lady. You sound like you're driving.
Yes, I am. I don't know if you were able to listen to yesterday's show. And I know in you are just pure love. You are. And I know that you have always inquired about my daughter, Markayla. And she is experiencing something of a breakthrough, and I wasn't able to really fully share that yesterday. But her condition or label of diabetes is starting to fall away from her, Michael, and we're experiencing more of a hypoglycemic experience, I'm sure, which is being, produced by the ongoing, the doctors insisting she needs any degree of insulin at all. So we're just, please, I know with your prayer and all of that and bringing that to your personal awareness means a lot to me. It just does that you knew what was going on with us. And I can't thank you enough. I am wondering.
Cool. Keep her working on letting loose of the grief.
Yes.
The grief and the loss, they're the major keys in pancreatic function.
Well, she's been able to express in letters to her father how she can't say it, but she can write it. And she has been writing to him, and I really didn't realize that her grief was grieving what she expected from her father and isn't going to get. He's just not available. It's not available to her. And it has been this the seminar that we attended in Michigan with you, the Codependence to Interdependence worksheets that she did. I discovered she has started journaling and writing more. That was kind of the catalyst, is attending that workshop with you. And she has been able to write more and really get you more, having met you in person and understand me a little bit more in this work. So I cannot thank you enough. In time we will look here at the hypoglycemic tendency, which has been my tendency, and then with alcoholism in my generation, tracking that, and it's just we're taking steps as we go. And I was wondering where we could find a copy of the If poem that Dr. Tim had brought to mind as well, where that publication might be found.
Oh, excuse me, my mute button is on. But if you just Google the poem If, is it Rudyard Kipling? I think so. But I'm sure you'll find it online in a thousand different places. It's powerful.
Yes, it is.
And I'm just delighted for your daughter's movement and glad to be on the team, glad that she's opening up to it. And again, to keep looking at the grief and loss, and that will tend to take the load off of the pancreas, and the pancreas will tend to just start to naturally kick in and function. It's kind of like a television set. If I'm sitting watching television and I have this beautiful, clear picture and great sound, and somebody pulls up to the building that has a car that's poorly tuned, then the interfering energy that comes in through the antenna, all of a sudden my picture is squiggly, it's weak, I can hardly see it, the sound has got all kinds of noise in it. I'm not going to get back to a proper picture and sound until I remove the interfering energy. And so the energy that over the years seems to, and it's kind of a naturopathic tradition, that the energy that interferes with both the pancreas and the adrenals tends to be grief. And when that interfering pattern is removed, then just like the television signal, you know, remember it's all energy, it's all functioning energy patterns. Then just like the television all of a sudden clears up when somebody shuts off that engine that's inserting the interfering energy, then, you know, the same thing. When the interfering energy goes from the organ just starts to function again properly. And so, and it's nice to see the awareness of that growing in the world, and that, you know, we're actually catching up. It was interesting the other night, we had a gentleman who happened to be walking by the room where we were serving dinner, and he's a surgeon from a hospital just down the road, and he's staying in the same motel that we're in for a couple of months while his house is being finished. And so he saw the food, came in, and was just like, man, I want to eat this all the time. Where can I get this? And so he's joining us for dinner through the intensive, but he came to the Mind Shifters workshop, or the Mind Shifters section of the intensive that we're doing. And it was pretty cool to see this gentleman who's, you know, all the way into the medical thing, and he's like, wow, this is like, I've never felt this food in my body. And he came to the class, and then we were making dessert, you know, a fruit-based ice cream afterward, and invited him over for it. And his girlfriend, he had called his girlfriend to join him. So she was at the workshop, and they went over, and it was kind of interesting because they were invited for dessert, but they were actually more interested. He was more interested in, can I have more of that dinner, those dinner salads? And I'd like my girlfriend to be able to taste this. So when I expected him to be walking out with the fruit-based ice cream, and they both walked out with salad plates and were just reveling in the food. So it's pretty neat to watch the receptiveness. And then, you know, it was just a very short class that he attended. You know, he asked, gee, you know, we sat and had dinner together, and so he was asking about the work, and I said, well, you know, come and join us this evening. And we had already taught the energy field work, so we had someone, you know, that was already structured, that someone would get on the table and we'd just run through the energy field work again. And he was like, you know, can I have a copy of those instructions? And, gee, what do you do with this, and what do you do with that? And wait a minute, how does that work? And he was just like right there for it all the way. So it's pretty cool. And he's made a commitment to attend the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop as well when we do it in the teacher training next week. So it's neat to watch the receptivity. And I really do think that we're getting close to critical mass. Things are moving in that direction very powerfully. Fun to be a part of it. And glad to be supporting you. Anything else we can do to support you?
Actually, I know I have said it before, but please hold the space that my daughter and my Native American friend, he inquired last month. He was adamant to get the information for him, as I had to direct him to your webpage, but he wants very much to come this summer, and Mark Hill knows him as Uncle George, and I'm really hoping the three of us will be able to join at Heartland this year. I'm really saying it's going to happen. So I'll
awesome.
Have to discuss details with you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
So, Jeannie, anybody else with a hand up, or anybody in the phone queue with a thought or a question? Dr. Kim, anything else to share at this moment? Let's see, we're at about the 10 minutes. So we do have time for a question or two, or any thoughts from you, Tim?
Well, I'm feeling complete. It's good to hear that Sonny's daughter is doing better, and
yes.
I would just encourage people to take a full advantage of these tools. Go to the whyagain.org. website, download the worksheet process and some of those audio files where you're stepping people through the process, and just apply it and see what happens. Find a way to tune in more to the anger, fear, sadness, and then the sooner you realize it's coming up in you, the sooner you can use these tools, which are so graciously given free of charge, to remove it. I'm on the practical end of things again.
Yay. Yay. Well, I join you in that, Tim, and thank you very much for on the short notice with the breath work timing didn't work out the way we were hoping in the morning, and so
It took us into radio show time, and so thanks for being available on that short notice to take the show and move it forward.
You're quite welcome and deserving.
All right. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number, and we are here to support you in integrating these tools and bringing these tools forward in the world. There's a pretty cool project that Sarah, who she and her dad own this hotel that we're at, and she's some of her staff in for training, which is why this year we're doing teacher training here in Orlando. You know, we do it once a year, and we've never done it anywhere else but Heartland. But because she had several people that wanted to engage in that teacher training, and she's developing using the tools, using the dietary regimen and all, to work with people, we decided to do our teacher training here in Orlando this year. She's also, and you know, we'll certainly keep you posted on it as it develops, but she's also creating a protocol for a television show. It's going to be a reality TV show, and the reality TV show is going to be about really opening the space for healing, really understanding lifestyle. So rather than a competitive, let's see if we can knock somebody else off the island, let's see if we can beat somebody else up, you know, that old model, she's moving in a model of how can we create cooperative community, create a television show based in cooperative community, healing, understanding food, understanding healing, bringing the tools in. So she's really working on creating a project to bring that into the world as a reality TV show. So that's pretty cool. And as I say, we'll keep you posted on that. She's done a couple of versions of a video. She's working on doing a crowdfunding video to bring that forward. So we'll certainly be supporting her in doing that, bringing it forward into the world. So that's pretty cool. And is there anybody out there who is in the intensive that might push one and share any of your experience, what's happening for you, what's unfolding for you as the intensive moves forward, and just see if there's anybody that's listening that's part of the intensive. Doesn't look like it. One of the tools that I mentioned, the work, oops, say it again, Jean.
Hand went up.
Oh, a hand went up. Awesome. Well, then I'll put that thought aside and let's say hello to area code 541, you're on the air. Give us a name, and I bet it's Miss Julie from Ashland,
yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah. Hi, Julie.
How do you
here.
Be, young lady?
I'm good. I really love the conversation you were having today about enlightenment, and I did hear Michelle yesterday. I didn't hear the start off of the show today, but it sounds like maybe Dr. Tim got a little triggered or something, or Michelle, I don't know who got triggered, but it doesn't matter. I just say that I'm not totally oriented to the whole of the conversation. So I mentioned things that I've learned from you, Michael, and that's the law of resonance. And so if a person is walking away from something that they see as less enlightened, that's the geographical cure in that moment, really. And sometimes I think it's taught to people to take care of themselves and have boundaries and draw lines. And I don't know that that's that enlightened, but it may be in that moment. That's what that person needs to do, seeking some higher to raise their resonance. So it all depends.
Yeah, I'm
really
not sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it would necessarily be the geographic cure. You know, if I'm standing with a group of people who are in a space of more or less enlightenment, the fact that I choose to walk in another direction doesn't necessarily mean the geographic cure. I can just as easily say, like, for instance, you know, I've got some buddies that once in a while I'll connect with, and they get together, and they want to sit and watch an afternoon of football on Saturday. Well, you know, it's not whether that's enlightened or unenlightened. It's just that's not where I want to put my time, intelligence, money, and energy. Thank you very much.
you know, we got to go to a few hockey games with Michael this past winter, and that was fun. But I wouldn't be running out to get season's tickets and take the time that it takes to do that because it's not an interest to me. I don't think I need to be engaged in the geographic tour to say, well, that's not of interest to me. That's not where I want to put my time necessarily. Now, if I'm running away from it, that's a different thing. Or if I'm judging, that's, you know, there's my work. But otherwise, I think we've all got choice about what we choose to engage in. The only caveat would be that if my choice is I'm out of here and there's a because there's something coming up in me, and I still have the choice to say I'm out of here because there's something coming up in me, but I'm going to want to continue to do my work around what's coming up in me. Elsewise, I'm going to find myself attracted back to a similar situation again. So that would be my take on it.
Okay, good. That's kind of where I was going, but I always like to hear it from you. Thank you. So it's kind of like, well, when we're talking about choice, and if we're not being run by, you know, an unconscious driving goal, you know, if we can see what is the highest and best use of the space that I'm holding for love right here, right now, then we can make those choices like, well, I don't think this football game needs my highest and best right now. I'd rather direct my highest and best in another direction or be open for something else. You know, if nothing is triggered and resonating that we need to deal with, then there's a certain amount of honesty in there, and it's just a choice. So yep. I guess that's what I meant for sure. About the resonances, you know, not as a judgment thing, but as a, you know, it boils down to, am I holding a space of active present love, or can I shift into that if I'm triggered and then see what's next, I guess, maybe, bottom line. And, I, you know, not worrying about it. I have one more point, but go ahead.
Go for it.
I almost forgot. The whole thing about enlightenment is like it's almost like not a – a state of mind that's fixed. It's constantly being asked to look at what's next to apply itself to. Like, you know, whatever percolates up, we already know that it's not static, that it's something new will always be percolating up, and it's how we approach it with our state of mind. Is that?
Yes,
I'm trying to say that.
Yeah, and I think the person who has to proclaim to themselves or to someone else that they're enlightened probably isn't.
Yeah, because they're trying to fixate it in one spot and it's not open to the next percolation. So the percolation.
Life is definitely a process.
Mm-hmm. It's great. So it's great when you have the tools, and that's really it.
Definitely.
That helps
definitely.
So much.
All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was
all right. Well, we're down
right.
to the last minute or so. We appreciate you and Dr. Tim. Mucho, mucho gracias. And we're here to hold the space. And if you would, tomorrow, bring a stranger to the show. We'll look forward to talking with you. And in the meantime, the most awesome gift you can give the world is to have the best year yet of your eternal life. Teacher training starts on Saturday night with the 3-day personal code evaluation. And then Tuesday night with a 9-day teacher training. If you're interested in doing either or both of those segments, then we've still got space. Get in touch and come and join us. In the meantime, best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.